Well, good afternoon. This is your host, William Paris, with Travel and Wellness Today. I'm excited to be back on the show. Here we are in the fall. Summer is finally over. Throughout the past several weeks, I've been talking about the beautiful weather, and it's still beautiful here in New York in September. So our summer months are, or our summer weather, I should say, is hanging on. But the end of the summer, I think if you've been listening, I was mentioning that I was taking a vacation at the end of the summer. I finally did that, and I took my cruise to Bermuda, which was magnificent, but I'm going to tell you more about that. I'm in the studio today with my very, very good friend, Cecil Stone. Hey, Cecil.
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I know how busy you are, so I'm honored and excited to have you in the studio with me today.
Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. Before we jump into the whole concept and the whole experience of cruising, you know me, if you've listened, I like to always talk about things that I read or heard or experienced. I have a client that is leaving for Australia this Saturday. So we were just finalizing a few things in his itinerary before he leaves, and he's flying on Qantas. And the one thing that we noticed is that he didn't have his specific seat assignments. And I know me, I'm very, very particular about where I sit on an airplane. Would you agree with me, Cecil?
Absolutely.
Very, very particular. Some people like to have the window seats, and other people like to have the aisle. I'm an aisle person.
I'm a window person.
You're a window person?
Absolutely.
So you don't mind if you well, wait a second. I was about to say you don't mind stepping over people, but you fly business class.
Business or first, that's right.
Never mind. Well, I don't. I have. But when I do fly coach, I prefer the aisle because I don't mind people stepping over me, but I don't want to have to step over people, especially, you know, on longer flights. So in any case, to get to the point, so I said, well, let me just look into your seat assignment, only to find out that Qantas charges if you want to reserve your seat. So, but it gets better. Not only does Qantas charge, for all you listeners out there, but on the domestic flights from east to west, your seat assignment, that much is free. But if you want the extra legroom, it's $60 or 8,000 points. Now, that's not uncommon because other carriers do that as well. But if you're flying international on a medium haul and you want your seat assignment, they charge you $25. Mm. It gets better. If you want extra legroom and you want to assign it, they charge you $90 or 12,000 flyer points.
Oh, my.
It gets better. If you fly international on a long haul, as an example, to Australia, London, Hawaii, even Los Angeles, or even what they consider Dallas and Santiago, if you want extra legroom and you want to reserve your seat, they charge you $180. That is robbery. Okay, that's absolute robbery. So it's $180 or 23,500 flyer points. Mm. So I always like to share these things with my listeners so you can understand how some businesses in the industry, especially the airlines in particular, are robbing us. And I've talked about other instances in the past where American carriers, when the price of oil goes down, the price of air tickets go up. So these are the things that we need to pay attention to. And these are also the kinds of things that I, in particular, like to share with my listeners so that you are aware of what you're paying for. And sometimes, in some instances, the injustice that's out there when it comes to big business and certainly the monopolies that the airlines have over us. Okay, so enough of that. I'm going to bring up one other little point, a little question for you, Cecil. Now, you travel a lot. Have you ever considered taking a trip on, I don't know, by rail?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've romanticized about it, in fact. going on the Orient Express or traveling through the Alps and Switzerland somewhere and just taking a different view of God's creation.
Wow. You know, I've actually done that. I actually took a rail. As a matter of fact, I think it was, I want to say from, I think I was in Switzerland, but I have done it, and it absolutely is magnificent.
In fact, I don't know if you know, when I was in London this summer, I did just that.
You did?
I jumped on the Eurostar.
Okay.
And went to Paris.
Oh.
And
how was that?
I loved it.
Okay. Scenic?
It wasn't that scenic because it was moving very, very fast, okay. But it was very relaxing.
Oh, okay.
All and right. Just having the opportunity of seeing the countryside from a different perspective and enjoying the whole concept of traveling by rail as opposed to something else was new and enjoyable.
Well, I agree with you. It is absolutely relaxing. And even on business trips that I've taken, I have decided, like, you know, short trips like New York to D.C. or to Boston, I would never fly. Okay, to take a shuttle for a trip between New York and Boston to me is just more hassle than it's worth. I would just jump on Excella and just sit back. I can get some work done or not and just kick back at the rail. It's roomier in the cabins. But anyway, the reason why I brought that up is because Amtrak is launching a new brand campaign featuring their 500 destinations. And they said that Amtrak today unveiled a new nationwide brand campaign, 500 destinations, and they're calling it Infinite Stories, inspired by passengers whose travel experiences include everything from New York to Los Angeles, northwest part of the country to Miami, and they're calling it storytelling. So the whole concept of this campaign is that storytelling is at the heart and the focus on the unique experiences and adventures that only rail travel can provide, whether it's a trip to college, a business trip with colleagues, a girls' weekend, or a dream vacation across the country. Amtrak takes you there. From downtown to downtown, community to community, Amtrak connects passengers to more than 500 destinations, offering a smarter way to travel. So they go on to say that the new brand campaign also builds upon the value Amtrak offers to millions of passengers every year. And it's a chance, as you just said, as a matter of fact, to relax, stretch out, move about more freely, and work or play. So for those of you listening who may have thought about taking, you know, a trip by rail but have not really done it, I can say that when you're planning your vacations and you certainly want to take the opportunity to see the country, you should certainly consider taking the rail because it is, in fact, quite relaxing. I have done it. I did it in Europe, and I highly recommend it. And, of course, if you have any questions and you don't know exactly where to begin or where to go, I think you should speak to your travel agent, and that would be me. So let's
call Will
to Be Well Travel. And of course, my email is wparis@tobewelltravel.com. So let's talk cruise. So I decided that I was going to take my cruise and I wanted something really simple. I didn't want to fly because I do that too often, as a matter of fact. So I said, well, let me take the Norwegian Breakaway. Between New York and Bermuda. I live in New York. I can go right to the ship, jump on the ship, and, you know, be on my way. Well, a few things that I'll bring up. Number one, a few weeks or a couple of weeks before I decided to take the cruise, I decided that I needed to lose 10 pounds because I was going to go for broke when I was on the ship and I wasn't going to be disciplined. All right? I'm going to go somewhere with that later. All right? So I didn't lose exactly, well, did I lose the 10 pounds? No, but I came close. I lost about 8 pounds before I went on my cruise on this mission. So I'm going to pat myself. That's me patting myself on the back, listeners. 8 pounds is not bad because I did that in 2 weeks. Okay. So I decided that I was going to check in because when you do take a cruise, you need to check in just like you would do an airline. And they're very specific about what time you arrive. So I decided that I wanted to arrive between 1:30 and 2 p.m. and the ship sails at 4. That would give me enough time to get a frosty drink, go up on one of the decks, sit back and relax. So I check in, I arrive. By the way, the car service didn't pick me up. It's called Black Lane. I'm just saying. Okay. So I ended up driving my car because Black Lane car service did not pick me up. And when I finally found my way to the top of the ship with my book, by the way, because I was going to have this quiet moment to relax, I found out that I wasn't as early as I thought. I found out that I was actually late for a big party that had already started. So I'm looking now in the pool area. The pool was crowded. All of the hot tubs were taken up. The bar was packed, and it seemed as if these people had been on this ship for hours. And I was there at 2 o'clock. I was there 2 hours before the ship was set to sail. And this big party going on at the pool area was well underway. So I don't know how you feel about that, Cecil, because you were on a Mediterranean cruise this past summer.
Well, my experience was very different.
Okay.
First of all, the area that I stayed in, we had a separate pool, separate lounge, separate sauna. So we didn't have to contend with the larger population on the ship. Which was wonderful.
You were in the Haven Suite, correct?
I was in the Haven Suite. That is correct.
Okay.
And I can say that there's an appreciable difference between the two.
Okay.
The service was impeccable, and specifically around the attention to detail. One of the things that I loved, for example, was having my own butler. And I didn't understand what that meant. I said, sure, I'm sharing you with about 100 other persons. But literally, every time I called, he answered and was available to me. I'm sure he was available to other people, but the sense that I received because of the timing and the diligence and attention, I was being catered to in a very, very unique way. So that's special for me. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I did something completely opposite. Okay. And I just have to say it the way it is. So I decided that this was kind of a last minute trip for me. So I didn't have an entourage. I wasn't traveling with anyone. So I decided that I was going to book what Norwegian advertises as their solo cabin, and that or that their solo accommodations, which I thought would be great for me because what they as they market the solo accommodations, all of the cabins are in the same place on the ship, which is the 10th and the 11th decks. And then you have your own lounge, and the lounge runs, it's a two-story lounge atrium, which runs between the 10th and the 11th decks. And then they have a cruise personnel, like a concierge, that pretty much fosters and helps the people traveling solo to get to know each other, have dinner together, and get to do some things together. So you don't really feel like you're really traveling alone. Tell you what, when we're going to go to break, when we come back from break, let me tell you about that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
As I sit here in Seattle, one of a thousand rainy days, my heart begins a battle over your leaving for LA.
Welcome back to Travel and Wellness Today. This is your host, William Paris, and I'm here in the studio today with a very, very good friend of mine, Cecil Stone, and we're talking about the whole experience of taking a cruise, especially or in particular on the largest ships that they have today. Just a couple of weeks ago, or actually a week and a half ago, I was on Norwegian's Breakaway, which carries 4,000 passengers, and I took that to Bermuda. Cecil, on the other hand, had a completely different experience. He took Norwegian's Epic, and he did the Mediterranean cruise. The difference is that I booked a solo cabin so that I can experience the whole solo concept that Norwegian advertises, while Cecil sailed with his wife, and they were in the Haven Suite, which is a completely different experience, but part of the same brand. So I'm going to talk to Cecil a little more about his experience in the Haven Suite, but I must mention that as excited as I was to experience this whole solo concept, when I checked into the room, or the cabin, I should say, I realized, now I want to point this out, the cabin was not bad. It was a spacious cabin. It had a king-size bed. It had two nightstands on both sides of the bed, so there was really room to move around this cabin. It had a, I won't call it a desk area, but it was pretty much a seating area with a mirror. They put some, it had a wet bar, and a place to kind of just kind of chill if you wanted to, relax. Plenty of storage space. And the bathroom is actually more spacious than I thought. So in all respect, it was a nice cabin for an inside cabin. But it wasn't what I pictured or envisioned. So I went to guest services only to find out that they had, in fact, accommodated me in an inside cabin. So it wasn't the solo accommodations at all. Now, in their mind, they were, I guess, overbooked. They overbooked the solo cabin. So in their mind, they upgraded me. but here's the challenge. The solo cabin experience is on the 10th and 11th decks. And that's where the lounge is. And the lounge has their own bar, their own coffee and espresso maker, their own vending machine. They've got seating areas. They've got pastries throughout the day, cookies and desserts and things like that. So you're really catered to in that lounge. But they upgraded me down to the fifth deck. So they were... Listen, if you listen to Travel and Wellness Today, I'm going to tell it as it is. So I would like to be able to say that everything was absolutely fabulous, but then I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't being honest and direct and telling you what my experience was really like. And this happened. So I went to guest services, and unfortunately, I wish that I could say that they made it right, but I didn't. I was never really satisfied with the solution, and that's that. But I will go on to say that I still had a fantastic experience as far as the ship overall is concerned. But we'll come back to that later. Because as I said, Reverend Stone, or Cecil Stone, his experience was in the Haven Suite, and he did the Mediterranean. So, Cecil, tell me about that.
Well, first of all, there are no words to describe the beauty,
okay,
in terms of the scene.
Okay.
Having the cabin where I had the full balcony experience to watch the sunrise and the sunset on the ocean is indescribable.
Mm.
And very, very peaceful. And again, the meticulousness and the detail and the way that the staff really managed and made sure that we were accommodated and our needs were met were incomparable.
Great.
Some of the challenges that I had personally was our suite was not with the cluster of Haven Suites. Our suites was on the opposite end of the ship.
Okay.
So if you know anything about me, the thought of having to walk from one end of the ship to the other was not appealing at all. However, it turned out to be a good thing, so that as I continued to eat my fill and enjoy of the fare that was all over the ship, that was the way I would excuse the pounds that I was gaining and rationalize the exercise that was needed so that I didn't really gain too much weight by the time I left. One thing I got to tell you that I enjoyed was the variety of things that were offered, from the shows to the diversity of the different types of restaurants.
I would agree.
The art gallery, the games that people played in terms of bingo or host of things.
Now, does the Epic have an, I presume, because the Epic and the Breakaway are in the same class. So we had an atrium that ran between the seventh deck and the sixth deck. And in that atrium, they played like games that you would see on TV, like Deal or No Deal.
Yes.
And it really drew a crowd. I mean, the people really came out for this and became a whole part of this experience.
Well, I didn't stay long enough to know how many people came or came. I just passed through.
Okay.
And I passed through the casino. I like to relax when I go away.
Okay.
So sitting on the balcony and watching the sunset and the sunrise sounds really boring.
Not to me.
But it was healing. It was therapeutic. And the idea of being able to connect in that way on a consistent basis, rather than being, for example, at a Caribbean paradise island somewhere, was something that I thoroughly enjoyed. And okay. I loved the fact that it was different in that regard.
Okay.
And I love, you know, going to bed in one port and waking up in another. And I was actually mesmerized by the colors of the heavens as the sun rose and set. And I think for me, being a spiritual person and having a great appreciation for the divine and for all of the things that we take for granted because we're so busy,
right,
the cruise accommodated that and fulfilled that need. So while other people needed to kind of play the games and spend the money, and I was quite content going up on the deck, going off on the balcony, and just appreciating how beautiful and how very different each sunrise and sunset can be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you say from one port to the other?
From one port to the other.
Okay.
I found myself getting up in the middle of the night and being mesmerized by a full moon.
Okay.
And being grateful that I had the opportunity to experience a full moon in the middle of the ocean.
Wow.
And so I spent maybe about a half an hour trying to capture it on film.
Well, how did that work out for you?
I'm still working on it. I might have to go back just to figure out how to. In all truth, I actually went to a photography studio and got some professional people to assist me in better learning how to use my camera so that I will never miss that moment again.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'd like to respond to a couple of points that you made. And first, to begin with your idea of understanding how to use the camera to capture those kinds of things. Keep in mind that in 2016, I am launching a series of their workshops specifically for photography enthusiasts. And it's going to entail a professional photographer, and the destinations are going to be exotic destinations in Africa, in national parks. And the whole purpose is so that individuals who are not professional photographers will have a magnificent, very unique vacation experience while learning how to use their camera equipment, everything from taking the pictures, understanding the lighting, understanding how to back it up, and then how to apply that and coordinate that with your computer.
I think that's wonderful. One of the things that I love doing is capturing the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to some persons that I knew, my goal was that if you looked at this picture, you would have some sense of the emotion, some sense of the feeling that I experienced. I just don't want you to look at the picture and say, oh, this is somewhere that I went.
Right.
Can I just stop for one moment and say that I am very grateful for what you do and proud of the way that you are pursuing your passion when it comes to travel.
Oh,
and I also have to say that you made my trip really special, because you gave attention to detail. So it's really important to have someone who can do that. I'm very, very busy, and there are a whole lot of things that I would have missed because I would not have taken that attention to detail. I'll let somebody else handle it. And if they don't care, and if they're not concerned or appreciative of what your specific needs or goals are, it takes away from the experience. So you added to that by being very detail-oriented and making sure that everything that I could possibly want to experience that I did. So wow. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad that you enjoyed that experience. And I also appreciated that you shared the experience with me even prior to the show. And of course, while you were there, I think I told you that the whole time that you were away, I said, and now Cecil is here. Gee, I hope everything is going well. And so every day of your trip, I was thinking about where you were on that particular day. And I have a client, as I said earlier in the show, that is leaving for Australia, and he'll be gone for a few weeks. And he booked this earlier in the year. But I, over the past week, have spoken to him several times just because I am going through every detail of his trip so that he knows that when he arrives at the airport, what to expect when he lands, who's looking for him, who he should be looking for, and making sure that he understands currency and what he should carry, how he should handle his finances and so on when he's away. So I appreciate you saying that because I try to do that. As I have a sense, because every client that I have is different, so the needs are different. So where you may not necessarily need a lesson on currency, someone else might. So I try to ask those questions. So again, I appreciate you sharing that. But I also now want to move on to what you said about the location of your cabin or the location of your suite and how that was beneficial because of the walking. So I want to mention to the listeners that these ships are really quite large. They are, you know, resorts at sea. I'm not sure about the Epic that you were on, but the Breakaway has 16 decks. 16. And there's a front of the ship and a back of the ship. So you've got elevators moving back and forth and winding staircases going from one deck to the next deck and restaurants in different locations. So depending upon what you're looking for, you could be walking from one end of the ship to the other. But here's the point. I lost those pounds that I wanted to lose. And when I was on the ship, no holds barred. I ate exactly how I wanted to, when I wanted to, what I wanted to, and I just gave up. I just gave up on any idea of discipline. When I came back and I did weigh myself, I didn't want to weigh myself initially because I was afraid of what I would see. When I finally said, okay, you're just going to have to accept this, get on the scale and see how much damage you did. And I found out that I had not gained 1 pound. Not one. And I could not figure out what the difference was. And then it came to me. When I was on that ship and when I was on vacation, I was active. And that's what made the difference because I was moving about throughout. Once I woke up and I left that cabin, that was it. I may come back at one point during the day for one reason or another, but then I was right back out of the cabin again, and I was on the go. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't so busy that I wasn't relaxing, and I didn't have a relaxing time. I did, but because there's so much activity and so many opportunities to move about, it kept me busy, and that's the only thing that I can think of that I can say is the reason why I didn't gain any weight, and I ate like a hound. Now we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Cecil.
You're quite welcome.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
If you can't find the words to say, and you feel you've lost your way, move on. Stuck with nothing to show and don't know where to go.
Welcome back to Travel and Wellness Today. This is your host, William Paris. And we're talking today about cruising. And of course, there's different types of cruises and different categories, different brands, different ships. I recently sailed on Norwegian's Breakaway, and I'm here in the studio with a very, very good friend of mine, Cecil Stone, who also sailed on Breakaway this summer, but he was on the Epic, and he did the Mediterranean cruise, and his accommodations were the Haven Suite. So he shared in the last segment about how magnificent the experience was, from really appreciating the ship being at sea, being able to see a full moon, and just the tranquil experience that he experienced specifically with regard to his accommodations that he selected. So now I want to ask you, Cecil, all of that being said, one other thing that you mentioned was the appreciation that you had waking up at a different port each day. Can you tell us more about what that experience was like, and did you have any favorite ports?
Well, I started off with trepidation because I thought to myself, that means I'm going to have to get up every day and go out and start walking in. And the other side of me said, but I can't miss this. I may never pass this way again. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that I grasp every opportunity that I have to see as much as I can. The major issue for me was really making up my mind, thinking that the travel, the tourist part, getting on the buses and dealing with the hassle of that was going to be overwhelming. And I'm not used to that. Right. I like private tours. I like someone who will put me in a cab and give me a little bit more personal attention. What I found was I had the opportunity to do both.
Okay.
I could either go on those big scenic tour buses and excursions if I wanted to, or I could just take a taxi, as I did in some cases. When I went to Florence, for example, because I have this affinity for fragrances, and I wanted to see if I could find a fragrant factory and have some of my own fragrances made, and had the opportunity to do that kind of thing.
Did you?
Think most of the walking I did was in Rome, and I loved the opportunity that I had. We flew to Barcelona.
Okay.
And so, again, I had a personal limo driver, and he took me around the city, and we were able to get out and take pictures at my leisure. So I liked the variety that we had in being able to either go the route of the huge excursion or the personal, smaller, kind of intimate tour guiding experience.
Well, that's also important for individuals. You know, I speak to many people, some who have taken many cruises and are just diehard. You know, they cruise every other year, or in some instances every year, and they've tried different brands. But I've also spoken to a few people that, which always amazes me, that not only have they never cruised, but they have no interest in cruising. But I hear the same things when they say that. It's usually because they're concerned about the size of the ship, or they're concerned about the ship being on the ocean and, you know, that body of water, or the movement of the ship.
Well, you know what my trepidation was? My idea of a vacation is to do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
So
right.
I'm thinking, do I have to get up? You know, I'm going to feel like I'm a drill sergeant. You know, by 8 o'clock you have to be here. By 2 o'clock you have to be here. And I only felt that once.
Okay.
And so that was a difficult thing for me to overcome.
Now, when you felt that, what was happening at the time? Because usually everything is at your own
Well, because the way the people gathered, they gathered in a specific place. There was a specific time to gather.
Okay.
And it was a large group of people going to the same place.
Oh.
And so you had, they were hoarding us in. I felt like cattle.
Okay.
And so I don't like that feeling. I don't like the crowded feeling. I don't like the feeling of being overwhelmed. You know, that happens when I'm in a city. That happens in the normal course of a day. So vacation for me is none of that.
Now, was that in one, because as you say that and I'm listening, I don't know why, but I'm sort of picturing that probably being more the case in Rome.
That was absolutely right.
Okay.
It was definitely the case in Rome.
Okay.
And so that probably lent to why maybe I didn't enjoy Rome the way other people expected me to. And if I were to go back again, clearly that's something I would do differently.
Okay.
I would go in my own and I would visit and tour the city on my own.
Okay.
And take my time and discover things.
Okay.
For a couple of weeks later, I went back to Europe. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity of just getting on the metro and going on the underground and getting on and off at the stops as I chose and going to the different places that I wanted to see and experience it the way I wanted to experience it. I like being with people and talking to people and hearing and smelling and touching and feeling and not being rushed through the experience. So wow. That's something that I would say, if I were to do it differently, that's what I would do differently.
Well, that's a very good point. And I certainly can appreciate that, because when I was in Bermuda, I did end up booking one of the excursions for a tour through St. George. And it turns out that after, of course, you know, everyone is traveling, you know, groups of families and or couples and things like that, and I didn't have that, any of that. So by the time they divided everyone up, it was myself and this very nice lady and her son. And her son was not a little boy or anything like that. He was he was not an adult, but he was a mature young man. And it turns out that it was the three of us with a tour guide. So it was almost as if we had our own tour guide. And he was extremely knowledgeable of Bermuda and was able to educate us. I didn't know that Bermuda consisted of over 147 islands. Who would have thought? I also didn't know that those Bermuda islands also were built on a volcano. So that was all kind of interesting for me. I just never gave it any thought. Bermuda is someplace that it seems like it's so close to New York that you know, I just really honestly, I just never paid it any attention. I was too busy traveling over to, you know, Europe and other parts of the world and places that are closest to me, like even Canada. I just visited a few weeks ago for the first time, but I've been to Asia. So I can certainly appreciate what you said as far as having a personal tour guide, because I felt like I did. In Bermuda, in St. George, even to the extent that his sister owned and operated one of the restaurants in town. And his tour was so personal that, you know, he allowed me to stop. Funny you should say this. Allowed me to stop, get out, and go into one of the fragrance factories where they make the fragrances. So you're not going to find it in Bloomingdale's, okay? So it's something that is specific to that local location where they make it. And the tour guide allowed me to go in, and he took off. He left, but he told me exactly where to find him. And then when I finished that, I was able to catch up to the rest of them. And then he took us to the restaurant because we decided not to go back to the ship. We decided to stay in St. George and have lunch. So he said, well, I've got a great place for you to have lunch. So he escorted us to the restaurant and introduced us to the owner, who was his sister-in-law. And said, you know, oh, these are my new friends. If they don't like the food, put it on my tab. Of course, the food was amazing. So no chance of that. And the service that we received because of that whole relationship and connection, not that the service wouldn't have been good without him, but he made it feel personal. Mm-hmm. And that was the difference in the experience.
I love the personal touch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now you said you went back to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go when you went back?
I started off in Manchester, and then I went to Oxford, and I went to various places around England, and eventually in London. It was a study tour, mm-hmm. and sort of what's called a Wesleyan immersion,
okay.
an opportunity to kind of walk through the footsteps of one of the founders of a major Protestant religion here
okay.
in America. And then I had some free time, so then I used that and went down to Trafalgar Square, and I went to Piccadilly, and I, you know, went out into the outskirts, and that's why I said I love doing that. Jumping on a bus, went to Peckham, and went to Bristol, and Brixton, and all that kind of stuff. And I said to myself, I'm too close to Paris not to enjoy the opportunity of going to France, and did the same, and went everywhere I wanted to, but I did it on my own terms.
Okay,
and I really enjoyed. Not feeling rushed, and feeling that I could do this in my own time as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about going back to the cruise again. You like the idea that you had the flexibility to be able to pretty much write the script, you know, in my own words, for what you wanted that experience to feel like.
Absolutely.
And in my experience, I wanted to understand what the Breakaway had to offer. So I did just the opposite. I didn't take advantage or get involved in everything, but I did quite a bit on the ship. So when they had the game shows like Deal or No Deal, or when they had the dance contests and the judges, they did it just like America's Got Talent. But the crowd on the ship really became involved in this. So they if you wanted to enter a contest, you would fill out a form, and they would put your name in a pail, and then someone would pick the name, and it was just like you were watching Let's Make a Deal. And they would say, okay, Cecil Stone from Queens, New York, come on down. And the crowd would go crazy, and they'd start roaring, and everyone would get excited. But they kept this going on a scale from 1 to 10 in terms of the entertainment department and those responsible for just keeping things going. On a scale from 1 to 10 for the Norwegian Breakaway, I will give them a 10. I thought that they were 100% on point. The cruise director for Norwegian Breakaway, his name is Silas Cook, and honestly, he could have his own show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, when it comes to my cruise experience,
mm-hmm.
attention to detail,
okay.
customer service, and really making sure that we were comfortable in every conceivable way and very luxurious, because I did the spa and those kind of things are much more my, you know, before I run to a game show, give me a massage.
Yeah, I actually didn't do the massage thing, but I did do a spa thing. But anyway, I'll keep it moving. I did a spa thing, but it was more one of those where it was kind of different. It wasn't like the rocks and the oils and the massage. It was something where they kind of bathe you in almost like, it's like a mud solution, but then they also put these prod kind of things on you, and then you get these electronic sort of.
Sounds like that needs to be a separate show.
Yeah. Well, the whole concept is that it's supposed to sort of boost your metabolism temporarily, and sort of, you know, you drop the pounds and stuff like that.
That's why you didn't gain any weight.
Okay. I'm going to go with that. So I didn't waste my money after all. But nevertheless, it was certainly a good experience. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about other possible cruise type experiences that you and I were talking about before we came on the air. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern, on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
It's such a long way home from here. Walking the miles we lost last year. Counting our promises and tears. It's such a long way home. It's a long.
Welcome back to Travel and Wellness Today. Once again, this is your host, William Paris. Today, we're talking about just cruising and what the experience is like. And you've heard me talk about the idea of cruising in the past. If you've listened to my show earlier in the year, I had the director or the business development manager, Danella Richard, was on the show, and she was talking about the escape and which will be coming out, I believe, around this time. And we were talking about the solo experiences and so on. But at that particular time, I had not personally sailed on Norwegian. I was looking forward to it, and I finally did it this just a couple of weeks ago. And my guest and very good friend Cecil Stone is in the studio with me, and he is he went on the Epic, and he did the Mediterranean cruise and had a completely different experience because he had the Haven suite. I had an inside cabin, which I would probably under most circumstances not book, but since I was traveling solo, it was really all that I felt that I needed. But you were also talking about, having done that, Cecil, that you would probably choose another option in the future because it's kind of that been there, done that kind of thing. Is that so?
That's absolutely correct. I think what we talked about was maybe looking at the more intimate.
The river cruise.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And in that it's not less luxurious by any means.
It's
more luxurious, mm-hmm. but much more intimate with more options.
Right, right. The difference with the river cruise is that the river cruises are, as you said, much smaller ships, but they're very luxurious. It's almost as if rather than having, okay, a cabin or a stateroom, every accommodation on the river cruise is like a mini suite, and they have sliding doors that literally, when the sliding doors open, the river is there. The balcony becomes an extension of the actual accommodations that you're sleeping in, which is really an amazing experience. And the river cruise itself, or the ship, is able to go into areas that the bigger cruise ships cannot go. And they don't have what I call the amusement parks, because the breakaway, and I believe that the Epic had it as well, the big amusement park.
Absolutely.
You know, the water slides and all of those things going on. And that's fine, you know, for families. Again, it's a matter of personal taste. It depends on what you're looking for. If you are traveling with families and you've got, you want to do a family reunion, a ship like the Epic, a ship like the Breakaway is perfect because there's something for everyone. Those bigger ships have even the club, if you would, for teenagers. So they have things for the teens to do so that the parents could get rid of them. And then you've got even the facilities attractions and events and things for the small little children as well. And the parents can still enjoy the cruise, and they can actually leave the small children with fun things to do and to keep them busy, and they won't miss the parents because those kids were walking around the ship like pirates, literally dressed up like pirates, the whole nine yards, and doing a little pirate chant and everything. So, and that was all great for the family. But if that's not what you want, and if that's not the environment that you're looking for, then there are other cruise lines that I won't say a step up, but just a different experience. Because if someone wanted to sail Princess, you would still get the big ship experience, maybe not as big as the Breakaway, the Epic, or the Escape, but you're still talking about maybe 3,000 passengers, but less the amusement park, the water slides. The whole experience would be a little more upscale in terms of your passenger, the type of passenger that you would get. You would get a sophisticated type of an experience as opposed to a potential playland. What you're talking about as far as the river cruise is concerned becomes now, instead of like, oh, it's an open bar, so we can drink as much as we want, it becomes more of the wine. So now you've got on the river cruises, the experience becomes more piano bar, wine tasting, you know, a completely different experience, which is something that I would recommend if you should choose to travel and do another cruise. I think that you would love that experience.
And if I do, I'll be back to you to set the whole thing up, because you now know what I like and what I want and what's important to me. And I'm one of those persons that believe that life really is short and we need to maximize how well we live. And it's really not a matter of how much money you spend necessarily, because there are many ways that you can do this that I think is affordable.
I agree.
But it's about the quality of life that sometimes I think we have a tendency of thinking we can't do this, and diminishing or underestimating our ability to live a better quality of life. And part of my rationale for opting to do this was because that's where I am in my life right now. I espouse this ethos that I've actually lived more than I have left.
Okay.
So I'm going to maximize what I have left.
So what's on your bucket list?
Well, I definitely want to do South Africa. Mm-hmm. I've recently added Australia to that. Okay. I'm on my way to Korea in February.
Right.
And I think I'm interested in going back to Africa and seeing more countries. I think I want to go to Nigeria. I went to Ethiopia. I've not been to Egypt.
Okay.
And in terms of my own personal studies and the things that I'm interested in terms from a scholastic and an academic endeavor, to spend some time in Turkey and Greece and make some connections regarding my own religious ethos and regarding my own spiritual dimensions and ways in which I think we are connected as what I call an earth, okay, a people that live on this global terrain, that we don't realize that we're connected in more ways than we are. And I think travel is an excellent way for us to kind of pursue and appreciate that and appreciate other people.
Okay.
It really breaks down a lot of barriers, and you find that people are very, very comfortable interacting and sharing themselves in ways that ordinarily they just wouldn't do, at least not in my experience, and certainly not in New York.
Well, New York is, as they say, a melting pot. So you've got so many different people and cultures and lifestyles and interests, and that just goes on and on. But I do agree with you as far as the benefits of travel. And it is unfortunate when someone doesn't see how valuable a travel experience is. It's one thing to travel to another city, which I think is important because there's different cultures and lifestyles right here in the United States that I think are certainly worth visiting. And you can learn a lot from different local communities here in the U.S. But then you get a completely different experience when you travel to other countries. It helps you to, and I've said this many times on my show, that traveling allows you or helps you to understand that you're not the center of the universe, and that regardless of the different cultures or what people or where people may be economically based on their society, their societal, is that correct, circumstances, their lives are equally as relevant, equally as important, equally as valuable, and their history and the culture is rich, and we have a lot to learn from people who are unlike us.
And what I say equally is sacred.
equally as sacred.
We have a tendency of diminishing each other's sacred worth simply out of our ignorance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Well, I certainly appreciate the fact that you have taken time from your schedule to join me on the show today. You have just a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I'd love to have you back on the show and to talk about some of the other topics that I am well aware that you are proficient and able to communicate. So I hope you'll come back one day.
I would love to come back.
Okay, and for all of those that are listening, I want you to continue to tune in and follow me, because over the next couple of weeks, I've got interesting guests that will be joining me next week. I've got the owner of a company called Kitchen Therapy that is going to be joining me next week. But we're going to be talking about more than just healthy food, even though he absolutely is a wealth of knowledge where that's concerned. But we're going to be talking about extended stays and corporate housing and how people can travel and find ways to choose healthy options when they have experiences. As an example, someone who might have a medical procedure and they need to be in a particular location for an extended period of time, and how they can take accommodations that might be an apartment and be healthy and bring the family. So that's just one example of what we're going to be talking about on next week's show. So please continue to tune in. And I appreciate all my followers. Thank you for listening. Once again, this is William Paris with Travel and Wellness Today. We'll be back next Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Time. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.TalkingAlternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Join us for the 14th Annual Vigil for International Peace and Ecology on Sunday, September 20th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. A celebration of live music and dance performances, art installations, and a World Peace Flag Ceremony that celebrates the United Nations International Day of Peace. That's Sunday, September 20th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Park, Nuremberg, Banshell by the Bethesda Fountain. For more information or to volunteer, go to vigilforinternationalpeace.org. That's number 4 in the URL. Or call 646-765-7890. That's 646-765-7890. See you there.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.